Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful opportunity to be here this morning. Yeah. And I must remember not to say something in secret, otherwise everyone will know. We're going to read out of Mark chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to ask Barry to read for us while I set up some props. Jim asked me this morning, do I have any PowerPoints? And in Thailand, we don't use PowerPoints, so we just use physical things to show you. So today we're going to talk about shoes. There's a ladies' special for the ladies this morning. We haven't got a lot of ladies' shoes, so I'll look for a pair of ladies' shoes I can use this morning. Who wants to give me their shoes? No, I'm just joking. Okay. So we're going to read out of Mark chapter 5. I hope it's going to work. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 34. So I think you can guess whose shoes some of these are. That one doesn't stay there. Let's use another one. See how many shoes we can get on here. Barry, can you read for us, please?
Hello. All right. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak.
Okay.
Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.
Thank you, Barry. There's been so many preachers about this chapter in the Bible, and wonderful preachers. So I'm not going to try to beat everyone's message. I'm just going to share out of our life, because that's our reference, and then we're going to watch a little video, and then we're going to talk about a few points. Our story began about 3 months ago. For the people that's been there, we live in an apartment that's 3 stories high, quite an old apartment, but we love staying there. In the front of our building, we've got a narrow street. 2 cars can't pass each other. The one has to go out of the way so one can pass. So it's very narrow. So any sound or anything that goes through that little street, it's like it's coming straight into our apartment. So about 3 months ago, one of the families in the street sent their son to the temple for merit making. So the son will do like a week or 2 weeks or a month or sometimes a year or longer. So they make merit for their mothers or fathers and the hope to go to heaven one day. So they'll put up this massive party. The whole street, we couldn't even park in front of our unit. I eventually had to move my pickup and park in the next street. So they fill this whole street with a big stage, and they will put tables everywhere, and they'll have a food like you can't believe it. And so they invited us to go as well. And they say, listen, we're having this Ngan Buat. They call it Ngan Buat. It's when the kids make merit for the parents in the hope that one day they'll spend eternity in heaven. So we look at this whole thing, and we were thinking, what is our response in all of this? Because we know what's going to happen. The stage is there for one reason. And it's going to be music. And it's going to be loud. And I can't sleep when there is loud music. I can't sleep when there's a lot of noise. So I can't sleep when there's a lot of noise. So we know what's going to happen. And they invited us and we thought, what is our response? Are we getting involved in the whole thing? Do we say, no, you are all sinners. We are not part of your stories. We not want to be involved. But then we've been living in Thailand for a while. We do the appropriate thing and we said, Mitura, we've got something to do. So if you go say to anybody, Mitura, they would know you've got something to do. They don't ask questions, they just accept it. So we did the thing because it is easy for us sometimes, where do you draw the line? Where do you get involved in what they're doing? And where you draw the line, where are you part of a community? So we just said to them, we've got something to do. So we went to the movies, and we got back at about 11 that night from the movies. And the party was going. They had girls on the stage. Now, this is a holy thing. It's supposed to be a holy thing. So they had girls on the stage with skimpy dress shorts. And I'm not explaining, I didn't really look. But so, and the music was loud as you can't believe it. And it's in that little street. And it's going right in our unit. Yeah. And this man doesn't really take it well. So I expected it, but it was twice as loud as I expected it to do. And you've got to sleep there. And our room is right on the street. So I got a little bit agitated, a little bit angry about them. Why do they only think about themselves? Can't they think of anyone else? What is their story? And myself and Liz was talking about this and going on. And eventually, she slept in the front room. She had work on the laptop to do. She slept in the front room. Fell asleep. And I went to sleep in the back room. Windows closed, doors closed. And I think I put the aircon on just to have other noise coming in. And eventually, I fell asleep. But what does it have to do with shoes? How do you bring a party that's got nothing to do with shoes into shoes? So my message this morning is put yourself in someone else's shoes. When Jesus was walking on his way to the house of the synagogue leader called Jairus, I don't know what I would say it in English, or in Thai, I'm not sure how to pronounce things anymore. Sometimes Afrikaans will say Jairus. English you say? Jairus. And Pasat Thai will be? I don't know, can't even remember. So I've got a sort of a complex with names lately. So, Jesus did one thing. He was on his way to, he was busy with something. They called him to go. And the people called him to go to the synagogue leader's house, and they said, my daughter is busy dying, come and pray for her. So Jesus left what he was doing, went to the house, and on his way there, this lady came, touched his robe, and she was healed. And you think to yourself, Jesus turned around, and he said, who touched me? Why would Jesus ask a question like that? He knew everything. He knew who touched him. But why would he do it? Who touched me? He did it for one reason. So the lady can tell a story so other people can understand. And that's the reason why we must sometimes put ourselves in somebody else's feet, for else's shoes. Because if we understand why people are doing something, we understand them and everything about us will change. So what happened afterwards is that, I'm just getting ahead of my message here. Okay. I'm still there. So what happened is, myself and Liz started talking about this whole thing. Why are the people in the street doing this? Why is the other people accepting this loud noise? And they're not complaining. Why are we the only ones that, if I'm the only one complaining? Liz is a lot more calmer about this. Why? Because I was saying, why do we have to make all this noise? Why do we have to have a party? Why is all this? It's about myself. If I start asking those questions. So we were talking, and Liz said, I think Liz said, or I said, or I think it's God revelation, said that if you could understand why they're doing this, they grew up as Buddhists. They grew up with this one thing in mind, that there is a little bit of hope that if I send my son to the temple, that maybe one day there will be hope for this. So for everyone there, it's a wonderful honor. It's an honor for them if somebody in the family will go and do merit making. Because it's all they know. If we understand why they're doing this, it's better for us to have grace for them, to know why they're doing this. So that brought peace to, not 100%, but it brought more peace to my heart. And I could understand, but these people got a reason for doing this. So if I know where they're coming from, if I know why they're doing this, I understand them more, everything about me will change. So, So I thought it at first, God, if I pray for them and if I pray that maybe you should send some rain, everything will be finished because there's no cover over this whole thing. There's no cover. So just send rain. And it didn't rain. And I wanted, God say you will answer your prayers. So God, why didn't it rain? This is not of you. But it was about me. God need to change my heart so I can see what they are all about. God listened to my prayer, but not the way I wanted God to listen to my prayer. The way that God wanted to change me. So nothing changed. They went on with their party till 4 o'clock the morning. Nothing changed. The next morning, when we woke up, everything was cleared. They removed a stage. There was no tables, everything. They cleaned the street and everything. And their party is over till 8 o'clock. And then a truck came. A truck with massive speakers on it. And all the people started arriving back. Some people left home and some came back. So the truck came with these massive speakers. And they start walking with this gentle, there was two men going to the temple. So they were, their heads are shaved, their heads, all the hair, facial hair, I think it's only the facial hair. Is that it, Stephen? Only the facial hair. Everything was shaved off. They sit on like king chairs on the back of a pickup, and everybody around them is dancing, and the girls are dancing, and they make, the way that they dance is not very nice. But they do it, and then they walk through the street, to the temple, and they go and drop him in the temple, and he stayed there for 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, we had peace in our soy, till he got back from his temple, and then the party started again, because the young people are party goers. So nothing changed. Nothing in their life changed. Not the way that the young people are doing the things before they went, and went away for 2 weeks, and they came back, and they're still partying. Nothing changed. But in this process, my heart changed. I've asked many questions and said, God, why is it so that these people don't see you? That these people don't recognize you? But it's all that they grew up with. And in the process, the way that I see them, that changed. So, Joops, if you can play us that video. This video is a little bit of a psychological kind of a story behind this. But just look at the storyline. Don't listen to all the words. Just look at the storyline.
So what is empathy? And why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, climb down. I know what it's like down here. And you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No. You want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time, because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
So like I say, don't listen to all the psychological stories behind it. But if we put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, may it be small shoes or big shoes, we don't know always what the people's situations are. But if we get involved in their lives, it's not always their lives that will change, but our lives change. We hope that their lives will change as well. Yesterday we went for lunch at my brother's place, and he got married again to a lady from China, and she's not always involved in our family because our family is quite loud. When we get together, we talk, but some people will always say, we talk all together, and the more we talk, the louder it gets. So it's very difficult for her. She's coming out of a small family, and it's very difficult for her to always fit in with our loud mouth backers. But so we try to bring her in, but it's always difficult. So yesterday when we went there, she was sitting by the table and she was busy putting brochures in together so she could deliver it the next week. And I went to her to have a conversation and I asked her, so are you the local delivery lady? And her response wasn't very good. And she said, what are you saying? I said, are you the local lady that delivered the flyers and everything? She said, but she couldn't understand what I was saying. It wasn't my accent, but I don't think she could understand it. And so her response wasn't very good. And I thought, why would she do that? And I walk away and I said, no, I'm not even interested in having any more conversation. And I walk back and we finish our having the barbecue. And then later I saw Liz. I didn't even think Liz saw me talking to her. And later I saw Liz sitting with her on the table and they're having a conversation. But I didn't really see what they're talking about. I didn't hear what they're talking about. And she was just talking. And then this morning I said to Liz, you know what? I was so surprised about when our sister-in-law responds. And then Liz was saying, you know what? Her response was because of something that she struggles with. Because the moment she sat down to us, we started talking. And then she said to Liz, nobody asked me how's my son. her son has been moved out of the house and has been living out of the house for a few months already. And she said, nobody asked her how's my son. So her response was out of something that she experienced. I didn't see it. My response is, I'm not even talking to you. Liz went and she saw the heart and she had a talk with her. So this morning, my heart changed towards her. Instead of feeling, stuff you. I think that's the way that we'll respond. If you don't, stuff you. I just said, I'm so sorry for the way that I just said, no, I'm not interested in doing it. So I understand how she's feeling. Let's understand, and she could talk her through this. Our understanding could have been, my understanding could have been, but he's never there. When we go and visit there, he's never there. We never see him. When we go and have a family thing, she hardly ever come. So I can have a bad attitude toward this. Or I can change my heart and say, I understand. Like Liz said, she understand what I was doing. And this morning I had to change my heart and say, I understand where she's coming from. So the moment we put ourselves in people's shoes, we understand where they're coming from. When everything about us changes, the way that we look at people will change. We will stop judging people. I judged her. The moment she spoke to me, I judged her. I judged the people in the streets. Why are they doing that? But when I understood where they're coming from, my heart changed. And I could pray for them. Could pray for them and say, pray to God and say, God, help these people. Let them see the truth. Let them see there's something more than what they see. I could pray for my sister-in-law and say, God, help her in this. She doesn't know you. She doesn't even know how to handle. Maybe doesn't even know how to handle when she's heartbroken. Please be with her. So our judgmental of people change. And we have an understanding for them. We feel with them. We put ourselves in their shoes and say, God, let me feel what they're feeling. Let me see what they're seeing and not just what I'm seeing. Our prayer life will change. We will ask, when we see people that's going through a hard time or people at work that we're struggling with or at school, wherever we are, and we see there's people struggling, we must go to them and start asking questions. How are you? How are you feeling? It's not about feelings, but are you okay? It's easy to see when people are not in a good place. But if you know, I'm not a very conversationalist, but sometimes I've got to go over myself and say, don't worry about what you are thinking, but go and ask the people, how are you? How are you today? How are you feeling? Are you coping? So we can understand where they're coming from. We understand why they're wearing their shoes for the season. And we can be with them and understand what they're doing. Okay, let me just get to that. The way that you treat people will change. Instead of just ignoring them. Because sometimes when people treat you in a bad way, you will sort of ignore them. You will just make as if they're not even in the room or they not even doesn't even exist. Even when we had that big party going on in the street, I could have gone out the next morning and just ignore them, just give them a stare. Yeah. They will get the message because your whole body language will show them. But I went out to them and I started talking to them. And it's not always an easy thing to do. You have to get over yourself and go and do things so people cannot see that you're actually not 100% okay, but you go over yourself and you go and talk to people because now you understand where they're coming from. So everything about us changes. They don't change. Their life just go on like normal. They have a little bit of hope, but now your life changes. Very changed. And then, when you start seeing these things in people's lives, God say, did you get the story? Did you get the picture? And God put out some tests for you, put some people across your path and see how things are working. So when we flew back from, when we flew on the way to Australia, we got to Don Mueang Airport and listen, we all went through immigration, and we're waiting for our suitcases to come through. And listen, Steve was standing at the belt waiting for suitcases, and I just went out the door to see where should we go next, because the whole Don Muang Airport has changed. The domestic side and the international side has changed. So I went out the airport, through the doors, and to see where we're going. And I turned back and started walking back towards the belt. And this guy stopped me. He asked me, where are you going? I said, no, I'm going back. I just landed. I want to go and get my suitcases. He said, but I can't allow you back. But I said, yes, my ticket. I just flew in. He said, sir, I can't allow you back. So I had to speak in Thai. This guy didn't speak a word of English. So I had to speak in Thai. And he just wouldn't let me. He was a lot smaller than me, but he wouldn't let me. He wasn't going to let me through because he was doing his job. So I got a little bit irritated with this man that didn't want to let me in, because I've got a reason to go back. I've got a reason I must go and get my suitcase. But in that moment, I just felt God saying to me, he's just doing his job. He is doing what he's called to do. We've seen many foreigners that goes to Thailand and the way that they respond. And it's not nice to see. So I could have been doing things like them and got very angry. I probably would have gotten my way, but I decided I will not respond. I turned around and I called Liz, and she didn't want to come. I said, it's like she's ignoring me. So that little bit of a irritation just started creeping up. And I said, come here. And she doesn't want to come. I didn't know why she didn't want to come, but she didn't want to come. So eventually she didn't come at all. So they got the suitcases. Here they come walking and chatting. Man. And inside of myself, I have a feeling, can't I understand what I'm facing here? I want to go back and get the suitcases. And they myself and Stephen just looking for suitcases. Can't they see? So all she wanted to do is, she wasn't sure if Stephen knew where all the suitcases are, or what they look like. So she just helped him. She didn't see my predicament. She didn't see my irritation. So she just stayed behind. But the moment I heard why she waited, it made things better. It wasn't 100%. But it made things better. I was still a little bit irritated. So, if we understand people, why are we doing it? If I understood this security man is just doing his job because his boss told him, you will not allow anybody into this room. That was all he was doing. And so, when a moment I understood why he was doing that, my whole attitude changed. The moment I understood why Liz didn't come, I changed a little bit. So, we must be so careful that in our life, that's not all about us. But in where we're walking, what we're doing, that we are not too busy to see other people around us, to see what people are struggling with, that we understand people. That we start asking questions, say, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Did you sleep well last night? Start with simple things. Ask them questions. And then we had so many wonderful stories this past 2-3 weeks as we spent time with people and their homes and everything. And it was so wonderful for God to reveal to us that the people in Australia, their lives are completely different from our lives. We don't have a work to go to. We don't have children to take care of. We do have Stephen, and he's such a problem, but it's only one. And I saw this morning, he's spending too much time with Elizabeth. Man, can he talk? So, in Thailand, they say that you look at the length that people are preaching. And then you decide if they're old people or young people. So you decide for yourself who will be the young man and the old man today after Stephen's long message. So we don't face the same things that you face. life, busy life, making time for everything else. But in our busy life, we need to find time to stop, look around us. How's my family doing? Are they okay? Because we can live past each other. We can go to work and we don't see everyone else because we are so concentrated on just doing what we need to do. But we don't see other people around us. Stop for a moment. Ask God, God, is there somebody else today that needs your love? And just say, and just walk and ask God, who is it? And just say, just ask that person, how are you doing? How was your weekend? Going to school, your school friends. Man, I don't know what the guys are facing in school. And nowadays, things wasn't easy. But nowadays, you've got the media and everything just going and teaching kids things that they shouldn't even have known. And you're facing that every day, going to school. Ask your friends at school, how are you doing? How's your mother and father? And you'll be surprised what you'll hear. Because people don't care. We live past each other. We are in a era where we texting all the time. I think sometimes people sit in the same conversation, and rather than talking, they all text to each other. I see there's a school, somebody put a posting on, there's a school in Perth that completely stopped the use of mobile phones at school. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because they say people need to talk again. There's a coffee shop, but also that said, in our coffee shop we don't have internet, because we want people to talk to each other again. We must understand each other. We must understand how people are thinking and what is in other people's lives. If we can set an example and other people follow us, it will be an amazing thing. Because people, there's no more care. There's no more, if we don't say the love of Jesus and the care of Jesus, nobody else is going to do it. So we need to put ourselves in people's shoes and say, how are you? How are you doing? How are you doing? So how are you doing this morning? Is everybody doing well? Is the smiles that I'm seeing hiding something that is not always so well? Because it's easy to put up a smile when things are not doing, we're not doing well. So I want to ask, is there anybody this morning that things are not so well? But maybe you've been hiding it for a long time. And it's starting to surface and you don't know how to deal with it. I invite you to come afterwards. Myself and Liz will be here. Mark and Sharon will be here. Andre, Maureen, and James and Sheila. We'll pray for you. Don't be shy. We'll just ask you, how are you? What can we pray for you? Allow God to do the work. And go and do the same way in our lives. Can we pray? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we can share your love with people. Father, thank you that we can share out of our life where we are in Thailand so far, two worlds so far apart. But Father, the things that people are facing here are so much the same as what we're facing in Thailand, what people are facing in Thailand, what the people are facing in America, Africa, wherever. Father, I pray that your people, eyes will be opened. They will see the people next to them. They put themselves in somebody else's shoes and say, how are you? How are you doing? That we don't just feel sorry for people, but Father, we get involved with people's lives. Thank you for that. Thank you for this morning, Father. I pray this morning that if there's anybody in this room, that the moment we ask, how are you? It's just something just stirs inside of you and it's not doing so well. Father, I pray that this morning those people won't be shy, but will just come forward and know there's people in this room that will just pour out Jesus' love on you. That's all we can do, is to be Jesus for that moment and pray and say, Jesus, come into the situation. Love his people. Jesus is always there. Always there. He's never too busy. Never too busy. Even while Jesus was walking towards the synagogue leader's house